Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. It said, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off and said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." Father, we do thank you for the good day,
yes,
and your mercies and your benefits you've given us today, and the privilege of being here tonight. Please, I pray now that you touch us and use us for your glory to help your people and bring you glory in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Excuse me. Here in verse 21, it said, "And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was." I want to use that tonight for my thought. It said Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if the Lord be my helper, on meeting God in the darkness. Now, I'm not talking about nighttime when the sun goes down, but I'm talking about when things get difficult and, amen, when life gets to be a real struggle. You know, there in Acts 27, Paul warned those people about taking that voyage. He said it'd be much harm to the ship and also to their lives, but they believed the owner and the master of the ship more than they did the man of God. And the Bible said that the wind blew softly and seemed like a good time to set sail. And as they did what the man of God told them not to do, a hurricane, a terrible storm blew in. And you know the story. It said that they unloaded, they trying to lighten the ship. And then it said, I'm not sure about the exact verse, but it said, "When neither sun nor moon nor stars were seen in many days, all hope then was taken away." In other words, things got worse before it got better.
Yeah.
But you know, if you read the whole chapter, you'll find that they all made it ashore. Some swam ashore. The ship got destroyed, but some swam ashore and some had to float on broken pieces of ship and on boards, but they all made it. I do know I'm going to make it. Amen. Ain't no doubt about that. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know how rough it might get before I get there, but I do know that I'm headed that way. Amen. Darkness. I'm not talking about nighttime, but I'm talking about when life gets tough. And, you know, when it gets really hard and your heart aches and hardships and when things get real difficult, I'm talking about life, how life really is. You know, I'm talking about like when you get, life makes you get depressed. You say, "Preacher, you get depressed." You know anybody 65 years old that ain't never been depressed? Amen. If he ain't, he's crazy. That's what's the matter with him. Hey, amen. Life sometimes can be very depressing.
Yeah.
Amen. And I mean, that's just talking about, and that don't mean you have a chemical imbalance.
Right.
Amen. I've been out of balance all my life. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. I do know there is some things that there's medication for it. And I'm not knocking you for that. If it helps you, your nerves and all. Amen. If mine get any worse, I'm going to find me something. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm just talking about depression. Here a few years ago, you know, and I was going through some treatments, and it's very difficult, hard on you physically and mentally. And I'd done the treatments, and then I was dealing with a situation with a family member that you can't help somebody. You can't help somebody that really don't want help.
That's right.
But you know, we are to try. You know, and I knew these people, was this person was using me. My wife said, "He's just using you," and I said, "Well, he's not really using you if you know they're using you." Does that make any sense? You know what I mean? And, you know, because he'd hit me up for money and I'd give him money and I knowed he was up to no good with it, but because he was a paraplegic and his life was just pure misery from birth, and they found him in a motel here a while back up near Cleveland, Ohio, with a needle in his arm. He'd overdosed on heroin. He'd either done it on purpose or because he got a hold of some drugs.
Right.
It was stronger. But I was trying to help him and his my niece's son. Anyway, make a long story short, that had some stress, put some stress on me that I'd never experienced. And coming off those treatments, I was going through some kind of transition. And one day my blood pressure went sky high, and I do have blood pressure. I take medication for it anyway, but and it seemed like my heart rate went crazy. And boy, I mean, I was just coming apart. I was whatever you want to call it, anxiety. But I mean, and the last person you want around when you're going through something like that is my wife. Hey, man, I mean, hey, I'm telling you what, you know, she, you know, you can get a freckle that don't look right on, she'll have you having terminal cancer before the day's over. I mean, just scare you to death. And, you know, my dad had a stroke when he's 52, paralyzed him, and he drug himself around. She said, you know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree, and had me thinking I was going to be slobbering outside my face and dragging my leg around. I mean, she had me tore up. Hey, man. Hey, man. And finally, she talked me into going to the emergency room. And, you know, when you're in that condition, you're really not very spiritual.
True.
And if you work in the medical profession, don't get offended. But, you know, those questions they ask you when you feel like you're cracking up and all you want them to do is tell you, you know, what's going on, you'll be all right. And they asked me, this lady said, Mr. Epp said, how bad you feel from 1 to 10? I said, well, I felt bad enough to come up here at this hole. Hey, man, that was not a good thing to say. And me and her was off to the wrong started, amen. And I mean, I just, and she said, hey, Mr. Epps, have you ever thought about suicide? I said, yeah, ever since I come in the door of this place, I thought about it. Have you ever thought about it? You know, I mean, just so stuff. Anyway, make a long story short, I pretty well knew what was happening to me. I just want to make sure that I was right because of the medicine and because
amen,
of the, and the doctor said, I believe you're right after about $20,000 worth of treatment. I mean, test. But anyhow, depression, it's real. Amen. Amen. It's just part of life. And there's different reasons for it. You know, you read some of the greatest Bible characters in the Bible battle depression. Amen. Elijah, after he prayed fire down out of the sky on them and killed all them prophets of Baal, Jezebel said he's going to kill him, and he got depressed. He went and got under a juniper tree. I mean, a great man like that got to running from a loudmouth woman.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what she was. Amen. Kind of like this woman running. Anyway, let me move on here. Hey, thought I'd get a little political statement in there somewhere, but you take Moses, you know, leading all them people out of the bondage. Paul even wrote in one place he was pressed out of measure. Hey, man, I mean, he was having some trouble with the pressures of life. Depression, it's real. It's dark sometimes, and you don't just snap out of it. Sometimes it sets in on you like a dark cloud. Hey, I'm talking about darkness, death. I'm not crazy about that dying business myself, amen. Somebody said that they weren't afraid to die. I said, how you know you ain't tried that yet? Amen, that's a big statement, amen. But no, I know where I'm going, amen. I don't worry about where I'm going, but I'm going to grab a hold of every tree, limb, every root I can get a hold of before they drag me off in that river, ain't you? Hallelujah. Hey, they say, I don't care if I'm alive or in the grave when the Lord comes. Well, I care. I'd like to be alive when you, hey, amen. I'm not interested in somebody walking by me at the funeral home and looking at me putting a little box saying he never looked better. Hey, that's not a compliment. Hey, that says a lot for the mortician, but it don't say much for you. I'm trying to have a good time here. Could somebody out here help me? Hallelujah. Hey, I mean, it's real. Despair and discouragement. Disease. I mean, if you live long enough, if you ain't been sick yet, if you hang around long enough, something's going to get on you. That's just part of it. It don't mean you ain't right with God. It's just part of life.
Amen.
Well, darkness. I might have the wrong message here, but I'm too far into it to back out now. Hey, amen. Moses drew near to the thick darkness. It wasn't just dark, but it was the kind of darkness that you could feel.
Amen.
He said, Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Let's look here first of all tonight, the timing of the darkness. If you read chapter 13, 14 right in there, of the book of Exodus, you see it was a time when God was showing forth His great power. The children of Israel down there in Egyptian bondage. Amen. That's where sinners are. They're in bondage. Down there in Egypt, that's the world. Down there under Pharaoh, that's the type of Satan. They could not get out. Amen. On their own. They were slaves to the world. That's where you and I were at. If you're saved, you were there before God delivered you. Amen. You know all the plagues that God sent on Egypt and on Pharaoh. And the last one, it was the death of the firstborn after they took the blood of that lamb and put it over the door, on the doorpost. Amen. And Pharaoh let them go, but then he changed his mind, sent his army after them. He got the sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them. No way out, no way back. And Moses, he said, stretch forth thy rod and thou shalt see the salvation of the Lord. You know the story. How God dried the sea up, rolled it back like the walls, like skyscrapers. 2 to 3 million people walked across on dry ground. I believe it was dust, just pure old dried up ground. Hey, man, I'm glad God in His mighty power 41 years ago delivered me from the world, delivered me from the power of Satan. Hey, man, set me free by the power of God. Well, you can't get out, amen, on your own. They couldn't get out on their own. God had to make a way. God made a way at Calvary through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you and I could be delivered. It was a time when God was showing forth His great power. It's also a time when God was showing forth His great provision. The children of Israel, after being delivered from Egyptian bondage, kind of like us, seemed to forget the miracle, how God brought them out. They got to murmuring, complaining about not having no water. God told Moses, take that rod and smite that rock. That speaks about the smitten Christ. Amen. And water came forth. It wasn't a little trickle out of a spigot. 2 to 3 million people, all they could drink. Amen. Then they got to murmur about not having no food. God rained manna. Amen. I'm telling you, God provided for them, even in their backslidden condition. God provided for them. I'm glad God provides for folks.
Amen.
Amen. Now there's some New Testament Christianity, there's some stipulation on provision. When you get saved, that's instantaneous. Soon as you believe with all your heart that Christ Jesus, God's Son, wrapped up in the flesh, virgin born, amen, laid down His life freely. They buried Him. They crucified Him, buried Him on the third day. He resurrected it on His own power, according to the Scripture. When you believe that with all your heart, God takes His blood, washes all your sins away in the blood of Christ. He doesn't roll them forward. He doesn't cover them up. He washes them away. Just like they never existed. He baptized you by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Seals you unto the day of redemption. Imputes His righteousness to you. And gives you eternal life. Amen. That all happens the very second you get saved.
Amen.
Hey, but you know the provision. Amen. There's some stipulation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things should be added unto you.
That's good.
Things. Right. Amen. And He wasn't talking about all the luxuries we enjoy. No. He was just talking about food and clothes on your back.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. And all of us got more than that, no matter how tough it is right now. Provision.
Amen.
Amen. Said if a man won't work, neither should he eat.
That's right. He said.
If there's a job available and he's physically able to do the job, amen. Amen. I believe it's all right when you get to the Social Security age, they keep raising it up. Amen. They're trying to fix for you never get tired. But amen. I'm for taking care. But I'm talking about a man, and myself, personally, let me just use myself. I've done that dumb thing. Before I got saved, I just lived wicked and ungodly, and this was a sorry excuse for a human being.
Me too, preacher.
Amen. So when you get saved, that's instantaneous. But when you dug a deep hole while you sin, it takes a long time to dig out of that hole.
Yeah, boy.
Isn't that right? Yeah. And right before I got saved, drugs and alcohol made a bum out of me for sure. I'd been a liar. And right before I got saved, the bank could repossess my car. Well, it wasn't my car. It was their car.
Yeah,
I hadn't kept my end of the deal. Amen. And so they, and that's just a sinner as a drug addict. I don't pay it. That made me mad. But they took it and went along until I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Got saved and had the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost wrote this Bible here.
Yeah.
And I didn't know much about the Scripture, written Scripture, but I had the author living in it.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Yeah. had the joy bell of God ringing in my soul and peace in my heart. Amen. Just enjoying the Lord. And I went to the mailbox one day back in 1974, early 75, you know, when they lied to us about not having no gas.
Amen.
It's been a long time, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all remember that, didn't you? We had the lineman. Everybody's buying these little old gas-saving cars. And,
amen.
You know what I mean? Now, you know, I was a lie. You can't believe nothing people tell you anyhow.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen. You say, who are you going to vote for? I'm going to probably vote for the best liar.
The best liar.
Amen. That's about it. Hey, that went over real big. Amen. But, I went to the mailbox and had a letter in the mailbox from the bank. It said, we sold your car, Mr. Epps, and we lost several $100s, and you owe us.
Wow.
First response was, I got mad. I said, that'll be the day I pay for a car I don't have. And the Holy Ghost,
amen,
is in you. You don't know he's in there. He's not.
Yeah.
You can't be saved and not know.
Amen.
You said, preacher, never doubt you're saved. Never did doubt it till he got.
Till he got it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's
the
right.
Holy Ghost.
Amen.
His spirit bears witness with your spirit. Our spirit. That brought it till he got.
Yep.
He talks to you.
Amen.
Sure he does. Amen. Yeah. And he said, you got to pay them bad debts, David. You're going to have a testimony in this town. Your witness is going to be any good. You got to clean that up.
Got to.
Amen.
Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost. And I ain't being irreverent to him and disrespectful, but when you first get saved, you don't know that much about the Bible. But he authored, he wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come to the unity of faith under the knowledge of the Son of God, under a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with living wind of God by the slight of mirror, by the cunning craft, or by the lying way to the sea. There is no apostle today, no prophet, except
no.
False prophets, that which is perfect is come. 66 books of this Bible. Anybody tells you that a new revelation that don't match up with that Bible, like they got caught up into heaven and Jesus put his hand on them and sent them back down here after they died and saw a light at the end of the tunnel, stay away from that guy. He's either rain dead or he's a crook.
Yeah, you're preaching your mind, bro. You're preaching your mind.
This ain't much revival preaching, but y'all ain't going to help me much.
You're not.
I don't have to say anything.
Hey. Amen, Lord.
I'd go down there and tell Mr. Green, the same one I got smart with when he repoed the car, had to go down there. That's a humbling experience. I said, Mr. Green, I've got saved. You got to get the picture. I've just been saved. Short time, still had old long hair, just a hippie-looking fella. Amen. And outwardly, I didn't look much different than I did when I before I got saved. But inside was totally different.
Amen.
We're not conformed this world, being transformed. Amen. I've been saved, but the outward part hasn't been transformed. Hasn't been changed much, but God was working on it.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense right there? I went down there and told him. I said, Mr. Green, I'll be honest with you. I did your money up in dope and booze and selfish living, and I got saved. If you'll give me time, I'll pay them bad debt. He probably didn't believe me then, but I see him now. It's 41 years ago. I see him now. He owns a restaurant up there, a real estate business, and he's a politician there. And when I see him, he said, hey, brother, how you doing? You're still a preacher? I don't have to hide somewhere.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
You're right.
It took a long time to pay all that mess off. We're a hoodoo people. I didn't go set out to do that, but that's what that kind of lifestyle make out of you.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, hey, man, it took me a long time to pay all that stuff off. I owned so many people in that town, I'd go deer hunting, a tree limb hit me in the back. I said, I'll pay you, sir. I'm just talking about, God fixes that. Amen. Then I started going to church. Amen. Found out God expects his people. Amen. As you prospered, as you work, you lay aside during the week. As God prospered you, you lay it aside on the first day of the week. That's Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen. Bring it out of the storehouse. That's the church where you're a member of.
Yeah.
Put no less than 10% of your gross income in an offering plate. And thank God you had the physical strength, the mental ability to go to work to start with.
Amen.
Amen. That's his money. That ain't your money. And then you give above that. Out of your 90%, that is a free will offering that you give. How am I doing about that?
Yeah,
man. Ever since I learned that truth, the meal tomorrow ain't never run out. The crucible ain't never run out. And the bank can't come and get that card no more than anything else I have. I'm just talking about how God provides for you. Am I doing that?
That's right.
I believe that word. church.
Yes, sir, preacher.
It's not a name and claiming prosperity kind of thing, but I believe God will provide for you. Well, we're moving on now. That killed the meeting. We got a long way to go here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not really. I'm just trying to break the ice. Some of you refuse to grin. I'm telling you, it won't hurt you to smile a little bit out there. Amen. I mean, it's a time when God's pouring forth His great power, His great provision. It's also a time when God's showing forth His great protection. The children of Israel come out of Egyptian bondage. Amen. Then all partook a drink of that smitten rock. Amen. That talks about it. Everybody say, has drank of that smitten rock. That talks about the Word of God, and it talks about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when we get saved, we have partook of the smitten rock, that's Christ, the Holy Spirit living in us. First enemy they run into, it was Amalek.
Yeah.
That's a picture or a type of our wicked flesh. When God saves you, He don't go out stumping all. He still got the stump. That's that old nature. Amen. And when Moses would hold up his hands, Israel prevailed. And when his hands get weary, Amalek would prevail. Amen. That's what you're going to do this week. That's what we're doing tonight.
Yes, sir.
Trying to get the victory over Amalek. Trying to get the victory over our rotten flesh. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Let me get some help right here. Amen. And then when you get weary, can't hold up your own hands. You got what you so felt so bad, so down and out, so sick, you couldn't pray. Aren't you glad you had two friends? Oh, Aaron and Ur, they got on both sides of him and stayed his hands up until the going down of the sun. That's what God's people do.
Yeah.
They care about you when they know you're having a hard time. They'll pray for you and hold you up before God that you can have the victory. Amen.
Well, I'm feeling better now.
Hey, man, I finally got over being nervous. Some of y'all look a little nervous now. Hallelujah, I like it that way. Amen. I mean, we see here the timing of the darkness. Then we see the terror or the fear was instilled in these people because of the darkness. Amen, there in verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. You know, when you're going through a difficult time, and I'm not going to embarrass the dear brother back there battling cancer. That's real darkness.
Amen. Sorry.
Amen. I just got cured of same disease that killed my brother. I had it.
Thank you, Lord, for caring.
And I battled that same. I don't know about you. That shook me up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That was darkness. My wife's had two brain tumor surgery.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I mean, that's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So I know a little bit about darkness. Maybe not as much as some others, but I did it a few. But Brother Langston there and his wife passed away today. She's been real sick with Alzheimer's and down to 70 pounds. Going to bury his mate, that lifetime mate. That's a dark time.
Yeah, boy.
Amen. But you know, when you're going through darkness sometimes you see things that ain't really there.
Yeah, you do.
Amen. He said they saw the thunder. I've never seen thunder. I've heard thunder.
Yeah, right.
He said they saw the noise of the trumpet. I've never seen the noise of the trumpet. I've heard the noise of the trumpet.
Amen.
You get to seeing things that ain't really there.
That's good, preacher.
Am I doing any good right here?
Yeah,
you know, when my wife first got that first brain tumor, and I know folks did me no harm, but telling people to get up in their face and say, you know, I know somebody had a tumor like that, and they can't walk now. You see, you know, my wife thinking, am I going to be able to walk?
Amen, brother.
I know somebody had that surgery you're going to have, and they can't talk now.
That's encouraging. No good.
They ought to thank God the love of God and strength. Amen. You know what I mean? I mean, just folks. Next thing you know, I got to thinking, me and her got to thinking, what if something goes wrong? She's going to be able to walk. You get to see them things in any time. Am I doing any good right here?
Bless you. Preach on, brother.
I watched my brother hemorrhage to death with a liver disease. Like I found out, I watched him choke to death on his own blood. Amen. Turned yellow like a pumpkin. Amen. The dying part was the easiest part, getting to it.
Yeah.
Lost his mind. Literally lost his mind with the rambling. babbling crazy man because of his liver shutting down. And then when I found out, I could see myself doing all that.
Amen.
Scared me to death.
Well, sure it did.
I got to thinking. That's what I got to thinking. Is that it? Is that it?
That's me.
I'm ashamed that I didn't deal better. I'm ashamed that preach all this faith business. That's it's amen. Another story when it's real dark on you.
Amen. True, preacher.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It is.
You're telling it right.
Amen. Y'all remember, some of y'all ain't old enough to remember. You remember that guy, Lon Chaney, that played the werewolf and made them old werewolf movies back in the 30s? I know some of you throw your television out and all that. And I mean, my preacher said he'd rather have a rattlesnake in his house. So when he preaches on it, I get convicted and throw one of mine out. Hallelujah, amen. Back in the 50s and early 60s, you know, most folks, we didn't have a television. When folks first started getting it. Well, I love them werewolf movies, old Lon Chaney, you know. You remember him and played the werewolf, played Frankenstein, and they probably made those movies in the late 30s or 40s, and then they're going to put them on television, you know, and the moon be full, boy, he'd bow up, and when the moon was full, and his hair would go out and bang up, and he'd go around leaping on people and jug their veins and ripping it out. I love it. I love it. I'm a nerd right now.
Reach on, brother.
Neighbor had a television. Neighbor had a television. Dirt Road graveyard. Right there on Friday evening. Amen. When the sun was still up. Right there and watch those werewolf movies. Eat popcorn and drink Kool-Aid and watch old Lon Chaney, you know, do all that stuff he did. And boy, I mean, you can hear him, you know. And, I mean, man, I love that stuff, you know. But while I watched the movie, the sun went down.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
When the movie's over, I had to walk home. And Lord help us, the moon was full. This is a little boy by the down that brown road of that graveyard, you know. You could almost feel him creeping up on you. Oh, yeah, you know he's just going to get you in a minute. They said, you talk to us, Moses. Don't let God talk to us. We're going to die. And if the moon was full, you could just about hear it going, oh, I'm here. And before you got home, you was walking. You was doing that. And you're running from something that wasn't even really right.
Amen.
Right? It might not be yours, but some of us, it was right. Sometimes, and I'm not saying your problem ain't real. I've run a lot of things for things that wouldn't even really matter. Am I doing any good?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
My wife, the last time she had a tumor surgery, 240 miles from my house to Vanderbilt Hospital with a dark cloud in the car. My wife's got a smile, covers her whole face. She went smiling that day. She's weeping. She said, what if something goes wrong? And that's a long way, 3 or 4 hours in the car.
Yeah.
Thinking that way, headed to somewhere for somebody to probe around in your brain and get a tumor. It got really dark going down through there, and me and her both were weeping. A few days later, though, we're riding back up the road. My wife's smiling, saying, I can't hardly believe that's over with. See, a lot of it's in our mind. It was a rough deal, and that's rough stuff. But sometimes we let things scare us to death that ain't even really going to happen. We like to hear the devil. We let the devil howl. He likes to howl when you're down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
Where's your God at now, big boy?
Yeah, roaring lion.
Why ain't he healing you? He's healed them.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
He'll talk to you.
Yeah, that's right, preacher.
It'll make it a lot darker than it really is. I believe this is the right message. Amen.
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 We see the timing of the darkness. We see the terror of the darkness. But then also we see the turning from the darkness. He said the people stood afar off. Amen. They didn't want to deal with the darkness. Now, a lot of darkness, a lot of difficulties. God, you don't have to be some kind of sin in your life for that to happen. All of it's a result. When Adam sinned, all of the sickness is a result. From the original sin where Adam sinned, well, Satan sinned first, amen, when he wanted God's position. Yeah, ain't that right?
Amen.
Remember, Adam sinned where the responsibility falls on us. But the truth of the matter is, some darkness is self-inflicted. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, the lies are not the truth. But if we walk in the light, he's in the light, have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Some darkness is self-inflicted darkness.
Amen.
Amen. And here to illustrate it, I think it's is right. My uncle, before I got saved, my uncle was a drunk and he played country music with a guitar. He was very good at it, and he was really a vile man. But my uncle got saved. And I remember it was probably 1971, 72. Me sitting on the trunk of a car, a 21, 22-year-old boy, whatever, man, brother, and this is wicked as you could be, and my uncle had gotten saved. It was obvious that something had happened to my uncle.
Yeah.
Amen. Even though, and my grandparents had gotten saved some years before that, but my uncle, I paid a lot of attention to him because I run around with him, and all of a sudden, you know, he quit drinking and started going to church, and he wasn't playing country music no more. He was playing country gospel, whatever, in the church, and just had a joy about him. Something happened, Mom. Amen. And he tried to witness to me, tell me what happened to him on the trunk of that car on the Saturday morning. I sat there, hung over and sick, and him trying to explain to me how I need to be saved. And I said, that's good, man, that's good. I'm glad God's helped you, whoever it is. But I'm not interested, and I don't understand. I appreciate you. And you know, in the process of time, God started convicting me. I mean, breaking me. The morning I got saved, the morning I walked in that church, my uncle was playing, sitting up on the platform. Really, the music was over. The preacher was a preacher, but he's still sitting up there with his guitar. I walked in that church, and I still don't understand it today. My uncle said, I knew you was coming. Amen. I was a couple of years, two or three years after he talked to me like that, and I'd watched my uncle's life, and he said, I knew you were coming. I guess he saw God convicting me and breaking me and saw some changes that he'd been through his own self and knew God was working on me. And I'm glad, amen, I'm glad God was working on me.
Amen.
I remember my uncle drove a church bus, a big bus route, and there at the church where he was a member, and I got on the bus after church with him instead of going on home by myself. I got on the bus with him. You got to get the picture, just a little long-haired, hippie-looking fellow. Amen. Still had needle tracks in my arm, the smell of whiskey beer on my breath the morning I got saved, but I got saved. I never been as sober in my life as I was that day. And my uncle, I told my uncle, I said, Johnny, I said, how am I going to quit all that wickedness? How am I going to get this mess straightened out? And he said, the Lord will do that for
me. Amen.
And they had a little singing group, and he did, and they go to Friday night's always a bad night for drunks and drug addicts.
Yeah.
And they go around these little churches and sing in a revival meeting, so I'd load up and go with them.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a smart idea.
Smart.
Trying to fill that gap.
Yeah.
Fill that time space.
You're
something
right.
Good. And it kept you from being tempted to do something bad.
You're right.
Amen. Because you just got saved. You don't understand. Amen. How that flesh and that spirit and that warfare, and you don't know how to defend yourself. You don't really understand. So I hang around with folks like that.
That's good.
Amen. And I mean, we had a good time. They sang, we just shout, praise God all over the country. Amen. I mean, you know, just
amen.
My uncle started prospering and started driving, and nothing wrong with it. Started making a lot of money, you know, and that's okay, but sometimes that can be a snare for you. Amen. Built him a big old house and swimming pool, and he had folks come up there and they grilled steaks and hot dogs and they go swimming. I didn't go swimming because after I got saved, I kept my clothes off.
Amen.
I thought I'd get that in there somehow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see me in the prayer shorts. My legs look like they've been dipped in coral rocks. I got purple knots all over them. Cover that mess up. Nobody wants to look at that.
Nobody.
Amen. You learn that. Amen. Nothing worse than we pick on these women, you know, how they dress some of them. But there's some of these men get out and mow the yard, old nappy legs laying. Amen. I tell you, you got the shirt off, look like a beach whale out there. Put your clothes on. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, that's pitiful. I'm going to do it now. We're having a good time.
Amen. Amen.
Brother, I thought I'd get that in the summer's about over. They get naked in the winter now. You go to Walmart and they'll have a big, heavy overcoat on the pair of shorts. I think myself, you are the freezer dead. I mean, folks are crazy. But where was I at before I got to meddling? I watched my uncle start and. They say, no, my uncle got to doing some things that wasn't right. Got roped up in business with somebody that wasn't saved. That's a bad deal.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That money got a hold of him. He carried money, choked a mule, a roll of money. And I mean, he was making money hand over fist. But it got to be a snare.
Yeah.
I watched my uncle start drifting.
I practically got involved and got out of church. We ended up busted up his wife, and he left his wife. Started living ungodly. Amen. I saw him one day. I was preaching there. I saw him in a mailbox in his place of business. And I'd been up in the church to pray for him. And there he was out there and praying for him. There he was. And I believe the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I stopped. I said, "Hey, Johnny, you're headed for big trouble, Johnny." I said, "You can't live like that and be saved and live like that and get away with it." And he started weeping and told me, "Mind my own business." I thought that's what I was doing. Yeah. Mind my own business. That was my business. Amen. I wouldn't be smart to him. I was concerned about it.
That's right.
I said, "You're headed for trouble. You don't repent. And something's going to happen to you. Something's going to happen to you." Amen's already happened to him. He lost his family.
Already.
His family. Yeah. Amen. Next thing you know, the doctor said, "If you don't quit living like you're living, you're going to cut your feet off." Well, they cut one of his legs off. That didn't work. He got gangrene, cut it off up here. Had a stroke. Couldn't talk. Amen. Five bypasses. Amen. And lost his home. Lost his family. Lost all that money. Amen. Living in and nothing wrong with the trailer, but this trailer was pretty bad shape. And he was living in there and sitting in there on one of those scooters that you ride on. He couldn't talk, just mumbled. I go by there and see him. I'm talking about, he said, they son, stood afar off. And I'm trying to make a point here. That darkness my uncle was living in was self-inflicted darkness that God would have helped him if he would have been in it.
He would have.
I'd go by and see him and he'd weep. I said, "Johnny, won't you get right?" And, "Oh, he just mumbled, yeah, Mr. You don't understand." And he'd just weep. And he wouldn't come. Wouldn't come. I said, "Let's go over to church. Let me come and get you." He'd weep, but he said, "You don't understand." I can't.
Wow.
I don't understand.
No.
Next thing you know, it wasn't long after, well, a pretty good while. He got pining away in a nursing home. Next thing you know, deathbed. I remember the last time I saw him alive, I went to see him, skin and bones, little skinny hand. He just got me by the hand and mumbling. I don't know what he said, couldn't understand him. I prayed. I'm hoping he got right with God in his heart. I don't know. And it went long after that he died.
Far off.
And he asked me to say a few words at the funeral. Am I boring you? I'm chilling.
That's not
me.
Come on.
He asked me to say a few words. I didn't bring up all the bad. I remember me and him, he had a big old motor home. You know, we drove all the way, me and him, this other preacher, we drove all the way to Houston, Texas in that thing one time just to go to two church services. That's where my uncle was living for God. He decided,
amen.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
He decided. Amen. I remember me and him and that camper going down James Lansing County.
Yeah.
Coming in there one night in the middle of the dark when James got on us about waking everybody up.
Yeah.
Coming in there, we didn't know where we'd never been there before.
That's James.
And my uncle just tickled to death. Amen. But then there, my uncle. I got to say a few words about it. I told him about those things. I told him about him talking to me about the Lord. I told him about how he, I got on his church bus, how he talked to him. I told him all the good things that I knew. He said, "Well, if God like him saved, I believe my uncle saved."
Yeah. Amen.
I believe he could have got right out.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't go so far.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cross a line where God gives you over.
You can.
Amen. There is a sin unto death. I'm not saying he committed that, but it looked like he did. God don't do nothing to you. He just lets your own sin and lets you go ahead and do what you want to. It's going to keep.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I believe something. I'm not misunderstanding some of that, but I think, am I making sense? I'm sure.
You nailed it, brother.
Amen. Come on.
Well, we see the timing of the darkness, the terror or the fear, turning from the darkness, but see that there's a treasure here.
Yeah, there is.
It's a treasure. He said Moses drew near to the fig darkness where God was.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. I know this brother back here has been through a lot of treatments. Got about 9 or 10 more out there that makes you hurt. He could have got, I've seen him down here for years. He could have got better.
Amen.
Could have got, and I'm sure he's had some tough days. I know from my own experience going through some stuff I went through. I was hoping God just let me get out of here. I was so sick. I was just saying, Lord, I was just so sick. And I don't deal with stuff as good as some people. I thought, well, if you just let me slip on out of here and let my wife, while she's young, find her a new man, hey, man, go on and enjoy life, it'd be all right with me. But, you know, instead, I have learned 41 years being sick. Moses drew near to thick darkness where God was. Sometimes God's right in the middle of your darkest night.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
And I got news for you. God is not dark. He's light. And if we'll, instead of turning from him in fear, if we'll get right where he's at, wrap our arms around him by faith, he'll shine some light in that darkness, help us take the next step.
and see through us now, that we get through the next day. He's in charge of this thing. There's a treasure in that thing. The best thing a man can do when things get tough and he's physically able, just keep coming to church, keep serving the Lord, keep praying and doing the best you can while he's like that. Amen. God will help him. God will help him. So many people, though, they just give up. Some get bitter. Amen. Some get... I've heard folks say they've been mad at God. I have no idea what that means. I don't reckon I've ever been mad at God. I can't understand those kind of statements, but some folks act like they're mad at God because somebody died in their family, their lover. But you don't know all the circumstances. I heard this one preacher, both of his had two kids die. They killed. Great friend of mine. There's his words from the last one. He found her dead. She fell through a window, cut her throat. Good woman, godly woman. Fell asleep in a chair, and I think while she's asleep in the chair, her leg went to sleep. When she got up, caused her to stagger and fell through this window, and he cut her throat. And her dad and her husband found her.
Amen.
Here's what he said. He said, "Brother X, weeping." He said, "God is always right. That's the only thing I've ever." Was it easy? No. You could call that fellow right now and be down and out, and he'll have you laugh before you get off the phone. God give you something. Am I making sense? I'm sure. I don't know if that's helped you or not. I'm done. Amen. You said, "Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never had no dark days." Boy, they're coming to you.
Amen.
Amen. They're coming to you when these somewhere along the way, if you live long enough. Well, it's a dark country. We live in a dark world. You can't see how wicked and dark it is. You ain't been in this book here.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you know, when they legalize these perverts in their marriage, and we know that's going to happen. We've been preaching about that for years, and it's happened. We're falling apart now. This happened. All that tells me we're just closer home than we was.
Amen.
Just let us know we're just about home.
Amen.
You come, preacher. I'm done.